Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Heather. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So happy to be here.
So happy to have you here. So you were a guest back in 2020 before we were like, we're in pandemic style. I think we did a bonus episode early in the pandemic, which I'll put in the show notes. It's basically we're like, what are we doing? We're just at home. What are we supposed to be doing?
Talk about Love is Blind. The OG Love is Blind. Oh, man.
Like, OG, like, this is the old, like, oh, my gosh. And so,
what
have you been up to since 2020?
Oh, gosh, yes. So again, happy to be here. And, oh, my gosh, lots of changes for sure. So I had a baby, and he's now three. His name's Theo, and he's the sweetest. And we moved from Arizona to California. So we're now in San Diego area. So lots of changes, lots of good changes. And yeah, so it's been fun.
You've been reading all the book club books. You got to talk to us about book club chat. What is it all about? And, you know, book clubs.
Yeah. So definitely all about the book clubs over here. So book club chat, I started back in 2018. Originally, the idea was kind of, I tend to personally read a lot of book club fiction. So it was kind of a natural step for me to do that. And also I was writing very technical style of journalism. So I wanted to be a little more creative. And so started since 2018. And it's about book reviews, really book questions. It's kind of my main area, some book lists and author Q&As, all of it kind of tying back to the book club fiction. So it's fun.
So what is it like thinking about book clubs? So like what is it like to either refer it or thinking about like what does book club needs? Like you're like, hey, I've been reading these books. I want to have some bookish friends I want to talk to. What can we expect for a book club? As someone who's always wanted to be in a book club, but just there were like rebuttons.
You are a friend. I am the friend. Oh my gosh. Oh, too smart. I know. It's funny because I've been in a couple and they've all been kind of different, the approach. But I guess what you can expect with what's nice about book clubs, I think one, especially for people who maybe don't read as much as like, you know, we all do and who work in the book space, who, you know, have, you know, podcast content, you know, blogs and all that. It really gets them, okay, I'm for sure going to read this one book this month. So I think that's something that's always a benefit of is how do I get into reading? Well, it kind of holds you accountable in a really great way. And I think also what you can expect is probably to read something even maybe out of your comfort zone. Because a lot of times it'll be sometimes people do polls. But I think most of the time with book clubs, they like to do where everyone gets a turn to pick a book. And ones I've been in the past has been between Good and Bad. And sometimes you get everyone reading it and they didn't want to and they're unhappy about it, or they didn't want to read it and you're like, you're supposed to read it. So, you know, there is kind of like, I guess, a little ebb and flow with how it all goes. But in general, it's fun to read in a community because it's funny how when you read a book, I mean, you're really doing something for yourself and enriching yourself or just getting a break from everyday life or learning about something new. But I think what's really great with book clubs is having that community aspect. It's like when you watch a movie and you want to talk about it, like, oh, that ending was crazy. You know, and I think that's what's fun with the book club. Everyone reads the same book, so you can all talk about it. Sometimes, you know, I'll read a book and people will be like, oh, I'm not going to read that book. I'm like, I have no one to talk about it with. So that's what I think is one of the wonderful things with book clubs is being able to have that sense of community with reading.
Yeah. And the other is like Risa Celebrity Book Clubs. We got to talk about those. Like, they're pretty much, they're ubiquitous. There's Jenna, there's Reese, there's every celebrity who wants to start their own book club.
Oh my gosh, so many. I had no idea. Anyway, yes, I see so many. I'm like, I didn't know they had one. I didn't even.
It's in English. It's like, we're readers. Now we got to start a book club. So,
yeah.
your advice for a D-list celebrity who wants to start their own book club? What are the elements of picking a book for book club for that?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good question. Yeah, that's really interesting. So I think something that is good is that, or something that readers want, they kind of want one or two things. I think that they love the debut novels that they wouldn't have known ahead of time, or not ahead of time, but yeah, I guess ahead of time, or even when it'd been introduced to. That's something that I see critiques with some of the bigger ones, that sometimes they feel, why are you going back to that author? We all know about that. That's an old book. Why are you, you know, people don't really like that. People like the shiny new. They like the new. But I think they really want to discover new authors. So I would say if there is one that's looking to start one, it's kind of go with the new author, a debut, something that people, maybe there's a little buzz about it. Give them that bigger boost. Gosh, it really is such a benefit. I mean, they pick it, and then most of the time it hits a bestsellers list. And it's I love when it's these books that are so unexpected. So I think some just discovering, you know, hidden gems, I think is something people really want.
Yes, I agree. I remember early Risei with the books that she was picking were like hidden gems, like the Chanel Queen. And I was like, I love her romance, but I was like, I was not expecting to love her Havana.
Yeah, that's just
her fiction. The Last Mrs. Parrish. We were like not expecting that book, and yet it was like, holy crap, what am I reading? And now it gets people. So like those early picks were like such a good picks. And there's some early episodes of this podcast where I talk about the early picks because they were so good. And I was like loving that. I don't personally love her newer picks because they feel too commercial. There's a purpose. I understand there's a purpose for her book club because she wants to produce them to other media. And there's a pipeline. And now there's a lot of like competition to get her highlight because it does make an instant bestseller. But those hidden gems felt like, oh, I'm discovering something new with everyone else at the same time. We're like learning something new. And there's also this sense that I'm like, yes, I'm involved with the book world and I'm aware of like, all these books are coming out and there's a lot of attention span being, you know, challenged, but it's still like this early picks were like exciting.
No, I totally agree. I see those comments a lot on Facebook where they miss that about hers and everything. They kind of feel it's not in a dramatic lost its way, but like I said, it's just kind of taking a different approach, which it's really exciting, all the adaptations. But so, you know, obviously there's kind of that mindset of what can we, you know, turn into TV or film. But I just, the hidden gems are so great. I miss them doing that too. Cause yeah, I haven't been that excited. I used to be, okay, I need to read every month because it's, you know, with the book clips, a lot of book clips do follow the celebrity ones. Some might feel pretty much every month that's what they pick. And I feel that that's they're being a little more pickier. I don't know about that one. You know, like her April pick, a lot were like, I don't want to read this older book. I didn't read it. Maybe necessarily just being older. It's just people just didn't want to, just were kind of like, I'm not really that excited about that. I want something hidden gem, I think is what they're thinking. Yeah. So we need to do it. Laura, if you just start one, you'll be the celebrity.
But that's why we have a podcast with full recommendations.
Exactly.
Thank you for your mood reading, Taze. What are you feeling?
You love it.
You're our guest, like celebrity host of book clubs. And you're the person who's going to tell us all of the book clubs. And so then we can actually go back to our clubs and say, like, you know what? Heather told me that this is a good book club for us to pick.
Yeah, I love it.
So, Heather, today's picks are actually backlist titles, or we got a front list title, but there's no backlist options because I wanted to offer an opportunity for books that you can find in the library because libraries are important and we can get the picks for free. So, and hopefully these are short wait or no wait at all, and then your friends can actually borrow it. So tell us a little bit about overall, like what kind of picks you do ended up curating for us.
Yeah, of course. I love this idea when you brought it to me because gosh, so many times some friends will say they want to read a book. And my friend, she lives in New York, so she does the public library up there. And she's like, it's a 100-person wait list. And it's like, you know, people can't buy every book. I mean, books are really, especially if we want to support. I mean, they're very expensive. And so it's hard to you can't just purchase everything that you know, that you want. The hardcovers are like almost $40. So it's like, you know, I love this idea of let's talk about books that people can easily get, or even if they do want to purchase, there's the paperback available, you know. Yeah. And again, yeah, to support the libraries, you know, there'll probably be a ton. So what I did, I was thinking about some authors that I love. And it's funny, a couple of these on the list do actually have new ones coming out. But I think it's great to go back to their older ones, maybe while you wait for the new one, because there probably will be a big wait list with that. So I was trying to do different genres, some kind of, I guess, you know, more contemporary just fiction, and also we got a little bit of literary too. But yeah, I guess to get in the list. So my first one was, so Stephen Rowley is an author that I think people are really well familiar with. People love the Gunkle, if I'm saying it correctly, was, you know, big hit. His last book was picked for Jenna Pick, The Celebrants. But really, my favorite book of his is a book several years back. I believe it was 2019, The Editor. I love this. My first book of his, and I just adored it. I thought it was just his perfect combination of where he can write heart and humor in the same page. It sounds always that cliche where you laugh 1 minute and you cry next minute, but it really is with him. And it's a really enjoyable story. Has a celebrity component with Jackie Kennedy when she served as the book editor, which I had no idea that even happened. I even had to Google that actually happened. And it's just really about, you know, a man just wanting to have a better relationship with his mother. And there's a lot of complications of why their relationship is kind of a bit at odds. And then it's also about the unexpected friendship with Jackie Kennedy. And then it's just a lot of humor. And it's so great. So if you have read his books before but haven't read that one, highly recommend. Haven't read his books, first one, definitely a wonderful pick.
It is a wonderful pick. I really love this. I am fascinated with the Kennedys. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
I remember when JFK Jr. died, because I was it was the summer before I was going to college. And I remember like the waiting of like, where's the plane? You know?
Yes.
I did get some family. It was like, this dates me. I am like, I'm old.
It was vivid for sure. Yeah. I remember that. I remember my mom talking about it. And then it was talking about the Kennedy curse and all that. Yep. I mean, oh man. Then, yeah, you still see, I feel like there's kind of a resurgence of being interested in him and his wife of that era. And I see people talk about like their, you know, like how they, so it's like, yeah, it's just one of those where it's, yeah, I mean, it's been so many years, but it's still just so relevant, the Kennedys and everything. I mean, I feel like they always will be, you know, the next generation, you know, will be too. So, for sure.
And this is a good entry point to a rally. And you can, then he asked, you know, a healthy, like, 3 or 4 more books to read afterwards. And he has The Octopus, too, which is, I think, the earlier
book. I did read that one, yeah. I probably should. Yeah,
so there's, like, a healthy backlist that you could dive into as a project, so.
Yeah, so they're all different, but just all have his really great writing stone. He's just such a special writer. He's definitely one of my favorites, so anytime. And then, yeah, it's the Gunkle sequel coming out, so. This summer, so you know, yeah, it's always exciting. It's always like, okay, good, he has a new book coming out, it's gonna be a good year, but definitely check out the older ones for sure.
All right, what's your next pick?
So my next pick, and I did not do this on purpose, but it's actually a book written by his husband Byron Lane, and it came out in 2020, so I think it got kind of, you know, obviously overshadowed with, you know, that crazy year, but I really enjoyed it. It's called A Star Is Born, and it's his debut novel, and it's a fictional take when he served as Carrie Fisher's assistant. So it's not an autobiography or not a memoir. So he definitely emphasized it was fictional, but still, of course, taking it from his real life experience. It's funny because, you know, he's married to Stephen, and they have a similar style of that heart and humor as well. But of course, it's very distinct. He's a different writer. And I think something that really stuck out to me, so both of those kind of have a celebrity aspect that I think make the stories kind of one that kind of take you away and just like, you know, kind of more fantasy in a way from my everyday life. But I think what really stuck to me with that book was about, I think we all had a job, whether it's your first job or job in midlife, that just really stuck with you. Even if it's not one that you stayed with very long, it's just something that you learned a lot. Not necessarily it was a great job. I mean, it could have been, but I just think we all have that job where we just remember it so vividly. Like for me, it was my job, like right out of college, working in newspapers, nuts and crazy. And it's been so long. I barely worked at that job, you know, under 2 years, and stuck with me. So that's something that it's really about, a man like trying to find out his own inner girl. What does he want to do with life? And also the unexpected friendship. So it's a little similar with the same with Jackie Kennedy, kind of that unexpected friendship, but two distinct stories. And anyway, another, just another really great thing. And there's a great read for summer.
Oh my gosh, I'm bumping that out for sure.
It's a good one.
Like first jobs and like it's a rite of passage. Your first job is not supposed to be the literature one.
I think you'll like that one too, because of the celebrity assistant. He really dives into that whole crazy world. It's a little bit like pre how it is now, you know, obviously with like social media, but still it still is nuts back then too.
Yeah, it's like, there's something to say. Like if you have a job that's coveted by others, and you're like, and you're supposed to love it, but you hate it because you're doing hard work. Like you're not doing like the real thinking, the real work. You're just doing grunt work. It's this dichotomy because everyone wants your job, but yeah, you're like, but this is miserable.
Yeah, exactly. And this should be glamorous, and like it's like glamorous adjacent, but it's like you're not really fun. Like
for that, there,
or even like you're being paid well. It's like this still isn't great. You know, it's like. So it's really him trying to kind of figure out really what he wants. I think it's just something like, yeah, like we all can relate to having that job that you just like, was a grind. And then, of course, anyone, you know, Star Wars fans, just knowing that he did work with Carrie Fisher, and even though it's fictional, you still see how it's, you know, based in reality. So I thought that was really good. So I wanted to kind of bump that up in case people missed that one.
Oh, I'm bumping that out for sure. So. What's your next one? I think it's Jordan Peele, right? There's the next one, or?
Let's see. I think, or yeah, or I guess I have Black Cake by.
Okay, let's do that one.
Black Cake by
Charmaine
Wilkinson, if I pronounce it correct. Okay. See, I write so much, I don't do as much of the talking. So sometimes I'm like, I feel like I can mispronounce. So I apologize if there are any. So this is a popular pick. I believe it was Read with Jenna. Pick a couple years ago, which is one of those stories that really stuck with me. And I think it's one of those, if it might be bypassed you, because I have this where there are books I feel like, I don't know why I haven't read yet, but I just didn't. For instance, Remarkably Bright Creatures, I haven't read that one. I feel like I don't know why I haven't. So it's one where I'm sure a lot of readers, listeners are familiar with Black Cake, but if you haven't read it, highly recommend. It's really an interesting story about family, there's mystery, it's a lot about legacy and kind of learning more about your parents' past. And really a lot of it is food kind of bonds us all, and by, you know, food is kind of part of a family's legacy too. So yeah, I think it's a really well done one. It really kind of transports you away too. It's very a vivid sense of place. So definitely a good one. If it's one of those you've heard of but you hadn't read, I would definitely check it out for sure.
I am bumping that one up because actually Jen's picks don't match with me. But this one does feels like actually can work. Just like Deliverance can work. Like it's like we have very different book tastes, but I'm like, oh my, this one will work for me.
Yeah, I think sometimes with those kind of with her picks, they definitely can go like really in the weeds with literary fiction, or it could be that kind of more accessible contemporary fiction. You know, where it kind of crosses that genre into literary, but then it goes into romance, and it goes into even a mystery a little bit. And so I think those were always really, really appealing, more accessible, when people might not want to just hear like, you know, lyrical literary where you're like, ugh, nothing happened in this book, but I'm supposed to.
Something about me is that I love bad writing. I love writing that. I do not like flowery writing. I don't like this sentence so pretty. I'm like, no, give me the worst writing possible, but give me a good story. Like I love that. I am fresh for that. That's why I love Zodiac Academy. Zodiac Academy is not going to win the prize of any type of writing. The writing itself is bad, but the story, it's so engaging. Then I'm like, yes, give me more. I'll read 1,200 pages of nothing.
I totally know what you mean. It's somewhat similar. I just read the sequel to The May, The Mystery Guest by Nita Prose. Yeah. And I even put that in my review. And I was like, gosh, I hope this isn't like rude. But I was just like, this isn't groundbreaking, but this was just enjoyable. It's like cozy mystery. I don't really tend to read those. And I just was like, this is just a nice, you know, palate cleanser. So I totally know what you mean. I think you're doing it right, Laura, because, you know, literary fiction sometimes it sticks with you and you're like, I don't want it to. I want it to go bust because that was intense.
I realized this as I was talking. I was like, I had a pretty traumatic childhood and traumatic life, like early life. And so I can personally, in my writing, I look for what it got me through most of your trauma was 2x5. So, and it tells you like what I gravitate is not the Babysitter's Club. It's not Nancy Drew. It's 2x5, which is a soapy, out there.
Yeah, man, I love it.
Incredibly problematic, you know, age of the 90s. And I'm obviously, I've translated to romance and to like cozy mysteries and things that are like actually like they're fun, they're frothy. They're sparkle.
Feel good too. I think you're, again, you're doing it so right. I think so many, I mean, I think we all have that where we're just like, I just want to be taken away with the book. Like, I don't want, because I, gosh, there are some books that just, again, like I said, like stick with you. You don't want it. Like, oh man, like, I don't know. I don't even know. I feel like I don't even want to think about the last one that did that. Especially some of these pandemic ones were really rough. So
I, and so I think like everyone has their own story and everyone finds their own comfort. But like, if you're not, if that's not your genre, that's fine. There's nothing 100%. Wrong with it. But it's like, embrace what you love. And like, that's what my 40s are for. I embrace the really soapy, the really trashy. What you consider trash is my job. It's my, it's my food. It's my meat. It's for me.
I love it. Yeah. No, 100%. And I think too, yeah, I kind of go back to that book club question. It's like, you know, those are 100% book club books too. I mean, it's just what people want to read and stuff. It does not. I think if you read a synopsis and you're wondering what happens next, I mean, you're already on a step to a good book club book. Sometimes you read a synopsis, you're like, I don't care. And then that's not going to be a good book. If you don't have any questions you read, then it's like, okay. Or just knowing that this is going to be an enjoyable read is, I mean, that's fun to talk about too, you know? And sometimes those kind of books people can be mad about. And that maybe that's a good decision too, because you have people debating like, well, I didn't like that part and all that. So
yeah,
for sure.
Awesome. All right. So we got the Jodi Picoult. It's just, you know, I she's like a good old book club person.
We got, I know what's a list without her, right? I know people have their opinions on her, but a lot of people do love them, but you know, some people get frustrated. She's popular, you know, popular for a reason. And so I did this one, The Book of Two Ways, another one that came out a couple years ago. It's kind of controversial, and unfortunately, how it is like it's very spoilery, but there were a lot of opinions. And it's funny, I'm not sure if this happens with your recommendations, but sometimes when I recommend a book, people always get mad about it. So people were really frustrated about that book in a lot of ways. And a lot of ways, Book of Two Ways. And I was like, well, I didn't write it. I just thought it'd be, you know, I'm not the author here. I'm just saying I thought it, you know, it'd be interesting. I guess to say why people are frustrated is it's not a spoiler, but it kind of goes toward the ending is what people talking and stuff. And I think these are the good books because sometimes like those are the ones that get people talking. And I think even if you get I'm not trying to be like, oh, you should read a book that annoys you. But I think a book that has people talking is one that's a great one for book clubs that bring about a big opinion, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I think this is one that does. And so this book is about a woman that, and to interrupt myself, she's still like a really funny reel on this one. So I would highly recommend like looking at Jodi Picoult's social media, because this one made me, I think, thinking about this book again. So what it is there's a plane crashed and a woman, you think she'd go back to her husband, her daughter, but no, she goes to Egypt to see her ex-boyfriend because it's a very big component of it is exploring what if, you know, what if she would have gone this path instead of the path she chose, a safe kind of suburban path. What if she would have stayed, you know, being a researcher of Egyptian history. And so just a very unique book, especially she goes a lot into Egyptian history. I do feel it goes on and on a little too much. I think it could have used an edit. But then also I think about it, how many mainstream books are you going to read about that? Like, not really a lot. So, you know, I also appreciate that there's a lot of a lot of research with it. And so, yeah, I think it's a good one to just kind of get people talking. And also it does make you always think about that what if. And I always think that those are good discussion books. Like, what if I would have taken, you know, this path, or if I would have stayed with this person, how would have life turned down? And not very many times you get to actually live the what if. And I thought that's what made this one unique.
That sounds good. Yeah. All right, I like this. But at the same time, like, it's gonna make me bad. Oh, we're gonna see.
It might not. It might not. So I feel like it might, you know, you might, it didn't make me mad. And I actually, it's funny, I put in the comments, I go, and again,
so there's one thing that makes me mad, and this is like my biggest pet peeve, and that's it's when they kill the character on the final chapter.
Like, oh, okay,
character gets killed in the final chapter, and there's like no closure or any specific things.
100%. I know, like, I will say
that's ultimate. Just, I am mad because you're not letting me grieve the loss of the character.
No, that happened. Very popular book. I don't know if people read it. People were really mad about that. And I had recommended that book, even knowing that happened. And I think people were kind of like mad about it. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of lame. Like, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
That does not happen. Yeah.
As long as they don't kill off.
None of that. Yeah. Because I would have been mad about that too.
I think of at least three instances that people have been dead.
I mean, no, it's something of disappointing. Like you said, you're not allowed to agree. You're like, okay, I was on this whole journey, and that's a bummer ending.
You got to help process that.
Like, if you're going to go that path, it would have been good to do earlier. So then the other characters, I don't know, process or grieve and grow and evolve. But then it just happens, and everyone's sad, and that's just bummer city. One of those ones, like, you're like, go away. I don't want to think about this.
Right. So let's move on to your final list, which is a front list title, but you can also get the back list title too. Both are excellent titles to pick.
Yeah, exactly. So we can definitely talk about both. So Angie Kim, it's a wonderful, wonderful author. And so her book last year, Happiness Falls, is a fantastic pick. It's one of those I really could see, you know, if you're on a plane, you want a book that's just you're gonna engage all the time, long plane rides, a perfect read for that. It's about a missing father. There's so much more that goes on with that, and it covers language, pandemic, racism, and sibling dynamics, disability. There's so much going on with this one. So it was very impactful. And, you know, it's one of those impactful reads that I felt was done with such care, because sometimes I feel there's that, you know, a lot of trauma in stories, and it can just be, you know, just really like, sometimes kind of grotesque with how it's presented. But I thought that she was very respectful of all the subject matter. She puts in her author's note, you know, why she covers certain topics. And so I that one's very, very well done. And, you know, as you mentioned, her previous book, Miracle Creek, another one that's very serious. And that one's actually a little more of a courtroom drama. So if you're kind of more drawn to that, that's, highly recommend. Again, her books cover numerous topics, and they really make you think. But I really emphasize they were handled with care, because I don't always think these kind of tough subject matters are, and I think she's very respectful of it. So but like I said, you read the heavy, maybe have the Emily Henry, right? Have a cozy mystery, have one of the, because it's heavy. Hey. So you can leave on a heavy. No, we could always add a fun, happy note. I need to read more like lighter stories.
Chances are, after this episode, there'll be a cozy mystery recap of like 5 cozy mysteries to pick up after the for podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So make sure I have that ready for you the next episode.
100%. It's like, all right, that's a heavy one. So let's, good idea.
Did you know? Like, here are my book club picks, and here's my pile cleanser that I gotta do. This was so great. So tell us where you can find your line. Tell us about the blog.
Of course. Oh gosh, and thank you for having me. This is so much fun. And yes, so you can find me at bookclubchat.com, and then you can always shoot me an email at heather@bookclubchat.com again. And also I'm on Instagram and all that, but really, like, email is a wonderful way to reach out if you need recommendations or if you want original book club questions. But I love when book clubs reach out to me and ask for that. So don't hesitate to reach out. So perfect. Again, I appreciate this opportunity. It was so much fun chatting.
Thank you, Heather, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.